I think my primary beginning place is 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll be looking at a portion of verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. As always, let us ask for help. Eternal and Holy Master, Father, we thank you, Master, for allowing us to join together. Father, I thank you for the tender mercies with which you have dealt with us. I thank you, Father, for having intervened and having changed the course of your children's lives. I thank you, Master, that you let them hear that's when they had no desire. And so now you have brought us to this place in this hour, this assemblage of living souls. Master, how will you deal with us now? Father, I beseech you to have mercy on these assembled here. Not because we are entitled to it, Master, your son said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. So, Master, if it would please you, and if it would be pleasing to you, I ask you, dear Lord, in this little span of time, to open our ears once more to let this little body know something of the glory of God in this place. help them, Master. So many things tugging at them. We all need your help, Father. It is so important. It is so important, Master. Father, do watch over our dear pastor. Do keep him as he travels. And we ask, O Lord, for your mercies on these dear souls. Help them, Master. Be pleased, O Lord, to open thy word. Make it real, Father, for us. Make it important, Master. Father, in Christ's precious name we plead, O Lord. Thank you. It used to really trouble me that I could not control my emotions better. When you have seen what I have now seen in my 50 some odd years, and I see what is before me today, how can you not weep? I've had some very good teachers in my lifetime. People who urged me to the ways of the Scriptures. And for the most part, I ignored it. Until one day, I heard it differently. And I was not seeking it. And I do not urge that course. I came to fulfill a promise over something material. And the preacher man's word stuck. And so now, when I stand before you, and my hands tremble, be giving thanks be giving thanks. And I heard Mr. Barnard at some point say, don't ask for the tears to be removed, because they might just not come back. So I will thank Him for them. I will thank Him for them. All right. This is only a... I say only. It will be a short discourse in course of time. But please, please listen. Do you really believe that the glory of God can fill a place like John talked about? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that a person could go to a place to feel a promise made to another person just to get them off their back, and their life will be changed forever? Do you really believe that? I'm not talking about, yeah, I hear you. No, I'm talking about, do you believe? That's what I'm asking you to get down to, is where you really believe something. When it's real to you, brother. That's what I want. I want you to listen. Come on. Come on, it's not going to be long. And I'm probably the worst public speaker that could ever stand before you, but that's all right. You can tolerate it. I believe in you. Okay. 2 Thessalonians is where I was brought to. Chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's read that first part. Let no man deceive you by any means. John shared with us, we've already got the order. We've already got the plan. We've already got our marching orders. We know what to do. All we got to do is do it. Let no man deceive you. Some other places, we're going to have to turn just a little bit. Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. Let's look at verse 7 and 8 and see what it... And they asked Him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And He said, take heed that you be not deceived. Now, if this was only good for that day, there would be no point in reading. But it's alive and well for right now. Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in My name, saying that I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Go ye not. 1 Corinthians chapter 6.1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Sinners, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive you by any means. Galatians chapter 6. Seven and eight. The glory of God filled the room. In this dark hour, what a place. What a place to expect the glory of God to fill the room in this dark hour. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not deceived. What is the motivation in your heart to be here today? What is it? I mean, really, what is it? Just, you know, you're not going to say anything publicly, but just what is it? I mean, just think about it. Be not deceived. I believe the worst enemy I have, as John mentioned last Sunday, the worst enemy I have is my own self. I have more fight with him than anybody. So what's the motivation in your heart? Don't be deceived, man. Be careful. See how dangerous be not deceived is not talking about necessarily some individual making a mockery of the gospel on television or some other area where it's obvious that they have no connection. They have no connection to the Spirit of God. None. But it's not necessarily that. It can be me. It can be me carelessly entering that door back there and quenching the Spirit sitting right there. And the whole time I think I'm fit to be in here. Be not deceived. See how dangerous a thing? Oh, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. That's why all of these things are so important. They all come together and form a perfect thing. And each one is very important. And understanding, for me, understanding what deception is, this thing just keeps, deception in itself, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And the primary culprit, again, is my own self. It's too easy to be hard on that fella and yet easy on me. That's what I find. I can see his fault pretty easy. Oh, yeah. But I'll miss mine. Because I'm deceived at times about my own self. And that's the point I want to try to get across. Do you really believe that the glory of God is a real thing? And that it can fill a room? Do you really believe that? So how does that come to be? Would have to be another question. One thing we can be assured of, it is not going to be filled with a room of deceived people. This thing, the whole thing is a warfare. And I have to then, therefore, fight with myself. I have to watch my own self. Because self, the opposing self, he's good. He's very good. Well, you read so many chapters. You read so much. You saw this, you saw that. Warfare don't ever stop. It can't. Because one facet of this thing called deception is always lurking. And it can destroy you. And it can destroy this place. It can destroy what we think we have, at least in some small scale, going on. It can wipe it all out. So when I mention the word deception, I'm asking you to dig down, push back, get on down in there. Find out what's real. Is this thing real with me? Or am I just living on deceptions? Be not deceived. Be not deceived. John again said, you got the game plan. Come on. Be not deceived. I have an example of one thing that I encountered that might tie into this pretty well. Some time ago, a young man came in the store with his little boy, and he was about, at that time, probably just under 2 years old. He was just sort of toddling around, kind of age. And I saw him. I happened to be at the front counter that day, and I saw him come in, asking if I could help him, and he just wanted to look. And okay, that's fine. No problem. Help yourself. So he's over there milling around for a while, and I began to think, well, it's taking a mighty long time. But we're ordinarily not the kind of place a person comes to shop for 2 or 3 hours. That's not us. So when it starts taking a long time, you begin to wonder, well, what exactly is so fascinating in this environment? So I checked on him a couple more times. We finally did a little business, and we were highly suspect that something had gone on, but we just didn't know for sure what had taken place. But anyway, we had some cameras in there. After he left, I come to find out that I knew him. I knew his parents, I knew his family, a lot of them. And so he goes on home, and we go back and we review the tape, and yeah, there it is, whole thing. So what do you do? What do you do? So I thought about it for a day or two, and I finally came to the conclusion I wasn't going to involve the law enforcement folks. I just couldn't do it. So I decided I'd call him up, and I did. And he answered the phone, and I said, hey, so-and-so, we saw, what took place at the store the other day, and I thought I'd better give you a call about it. And so he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, we saw the things you took, and we've got it all on video, and So I didn't get anything. I didn't take anything. I bought some things. I said, yeah, I know what you paid for, but I also know what you took out. And I just called you to get you to consider what you've done. It's all on. It's all on video. We got the whole thing on a stick here. And I said, you know, there's no point. It's as clear as television. You sit here all day and watch you doing it over and over and over. I said, it's not. There's no debate about this product. It's just, we know you have it and all that. But what I want you to do is consider what you did do. And so we talked for a moment, and I tried to urge on him to think about not only is he stealing from somebody, which is in itself a thing. I said, now brother, you should see this tape. You're squatted down there taking something, and you got your child right beside you, and he's walking all around you while you do this. I said, I don't want your money. I don't want you to ever come back and pay for this. But I want you to think about what you're doing. And so he immediately goes to the convicted side. He didn't argue anymore. One of his chiefest excuse was, well, sometimes I see things and I just feel like I need them. How easily we are deceived. I said, well, that stuff you took is of no value to you. You don't have to have that. I said, you know that, don't you? Yes. I said, your life is not hindered by these things. If you miss them, you wouldn't be punished or your family punished in some great way. No. So I guess my point is that deception can ease itself in. Somehow we feel like we've been slighted in some way, or left out, or injured, or something is just not balanced, and so I'll make it balanced. I'll start fixing it. Deception. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. How am I going to do that? Learn this thing. Learn it. Study it with a determination that the glory of God fills this room. I don't want any deception in me. But I have to fight with him every day. I will have to. There's too many references to the apostles' writings about being a prisoner or a servant or a fellow servant or some other like descriptive term for me to ever think there's anything easy about this. You can see it in these things that they write. Not only the physical hardships and miseries that they undertook and went through. We don't have that. But the battle of the mind It's a full-fledged, all-out battle right now. It's a battle to the death. The eternal soul hangs in the balance. All that little bit we talked about space and how complex and all those things are, that's just a minor thing. I mean, it's just mind-blowing, all the things they keep learning about what's actually going on. And not things they're just making up, but things that they can actually prove. And that's just little stuff. It's just little. If there's actually a creator out there who has made all of this, every stitch of it, and over and over and over again, he's telling me, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Let no man deceive you by any means. Mr. Barnard, you talk about that vital union. That vital union with Christ. Isn't that it, what it's going to take to preserve us from deception? To be hooked into the true vine and getting all of our source of information and understanding from Him. The straight stuff. The pure stuff. You can go on and on about how many facets and how many angles deception plays or can play in our life. But one of the main things I'm coming away with this and from this, and I hope you can for consideration in time, is to be wary of it. To be wary of it. That it's there and it's looking for an opportunity at all times. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. And so when you get a group of people who are beginning to grasp those types of things and they start rooting it out of their own selves, then can we be looking for the glory of God to fill the place? How would that be? Every time you come, every time you come, you are bent on it. You not only expect it, not like you deserve it, but you expect it because you're listening to Him. And you're following His direction. And you're fighting with yourself when He tries to deceive you. What would that be like? I have great hope that we can someday know. I hope we can. But there's a lot of, it's like planting grass. There's a lot of groundwork to be done. There's a lot with me. I'm not talking about you now. I'm talking about me. There's a lot of of swinging of the snow work will have to be done. A lot of it. It won't be easy. But if it means something to me, if there is something within me that makes it mean something to me, then I will do it. I have faith in Him to know that He will not. If we have a true desire, He will not let us go. But if I am filled with deception, I got no hope. No more sacrifice. I'm just done. Just another mockery. That's all. Well, folks, if you will consider Barrett as he travels and whatever remaining functions he may be part of, and I hope this will be some help to you. Next time you're out picking up rocks, it'll give you something to think about. Picking up rocks.